Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 10. Genesis chapter number 10. I had intended on doing chapter 10 tonight and the first part of chapter 11 and covering this the scattering there in chapter 11, but we'll hold off on that. We're just going to look at chapter 10 tonight and these genealogies. These things can be boring, I understand. But they were, for me anyway, as I was looking through these genealogies and seeing these names in here and kind of connecting some of the dots from history on who these people were and the locations where they were at and so on, some of them were so interesting to me, I got kind of carried away in chapter 10 and I didn't even get to chapter 11. So we'll see how long, it may not take me that long, I don't know, but we're going to look here just at chapter 10 tonight. As we consider these genealogies of Noah's three sons. These three men are the progenitors of these family lines, and the Bible tells us these where basically every family group that is in the world today comes from Shem, Ham, or Japheth, one of these men, one of Noah's sons. And every family group then having come from one of these three, that is assuming that Noah didn't have any more children. He may have had more, but there's no mention of those. And these family lines that are given to us in the scripture are just from the three sons. It doesn't give another line of another brother or something that's from Noah. So we have these three sons and these families coming through these three sons. And literally we see from them three, all of these nations that are around the world at the time of Moses, when Moses is writing these, most of these, if not all of them, were very familiar to Moses and who these tribes were and who these people were in these particular locations where they were going. By the time you get to Paul's day, in the New Testament times, they were still very familiar, even still at that point. A lot of these are the same names that were used at the time of Moses, were used at the time of the New Testament. And so it was very easy for them to identify who these families are and who they belong to and where they came from and so on. As we talked about last time, in regards to these three sons and the differences in them, you have Ham's lineage, though we're not going to get into a great deal of the outspread of Ham's line here in chapter 10, but we'll see just the basics of it. They are primarily located in the Middle East and in Africa, the northern part of Africa and so on. That's primarily Ham's children there. Now, we know that they went out from there. They covered most of Africa. They covered the southwest or south, basically South Asia, all of the South Asia, then moved on eastward into the Pacific Islands. You have them moving west into the United States and South and Central America. So Ham's line is a line that was very widespread, even up into Asia Minor, and even the southern parts of Europe and so on. Ham's line spread all over. These people were explorers and travelers and went everywhere. A lot of these names that are familiar to us as far as the world travelers of ancient, especially Phoenicians, they come through Ham's line and they are known to have probably went all the way to North America from the Mediterranean Ocean. Mediterranean Sea, rather, going all the way to North America, sailing their vessels that far. And so these lines, these families were familiar, very familiar in Moses' day. They are familiar in the New Testament times, and so that helps us be able to trace ourselves, find where these nations are. Ham's is one of the most widespread families. You have Japheth's line that were the world conquerors in their day, and they primarily were in North Asia and Europe. That's primarily where they covered, mostly of the lighter-skinned folks, the white-skinned people. That was from Japheth's line. And of course, they were primarily in those areas, Europe, North Europe, North Asia. That was primarily their areas. They, of course, have went far out from there since that time, and literally all over the world today as well, as Ham's Line is. You have Shem's Line are known primarily for religious acumen. They're the ones that kind of were the heads of the major world religions, especially in that day, and as time moved forward over the next few thousand years, and they have remained primarily, have stayed in the same region. They are in the Middle East. And that's where they were originated, and that's primarily where they stayed. It was right in the Middle East area. They did not spread much out of there. Of course, you've got a few scattered because of the diaspora of the Jews. You have many of them scattered throughout the world today, but primarily the line of Shem is right in the Middle East. That's where it is at, and it's kind of where they stayed. They didn't venture much out of that area. And so these are the three lines we're looking at today here in chapter 10, as the Bible reveals to us these three families, or these three sons, and the families that came forth from them. It ended chapter number 9 with Noah's death. Noah lived after the flood 350 years, but all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. And then chapter 10 immediately takes up with generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. Verse 2, it tells us, begins with the sons of Japheth. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Yvon, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tiras, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarmah, and the sons of Yavon, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. So there we have the sons and the grandsons of Japheth mentioned here. Now, this primarily, let me go through each one first of his sons. Gomer is the first one mentioned there in chapter 2. This is the people of Turkey and Armenia. The people of Turkey and Armenia. That's where Gomer's family primarily went to, is that area there of Turkey and Armenia there in Asia Minor. That is their particular dwelling place. Magog is the second son. Those names, Magog and Gomer there, become very familiar when you get over into the prophecies, especially in Ezekiel, and Daniel some, Zechariah some. You'll see some of these names mentioned over again, because these guys are going to be very familiar. Jeremiah as well, be very familiar to what's going to take place in end time events in regards to the battle just before the millennial reign, or the eternal ages, I should say, starts at the end of the millennium, when Satan will be loose for that little season, and he'll go into the four corners of the earth, and Gog and Magog, and gather them together in an army. These things we see are very familiar. Also in the Old Testament prophecy in regards to this as well, we see these names mentioned in regards to their particular locations and their desire to see the destruction of Israel. These guys here, Magog, are known as the ancient Scythians or the Tartars. They encompass parts of Turkey, the Black Sea region, even into Europe and Russia, as in the southern part of Russia especially. Even some Irish Celtic tribes come from Magog. even some of the Irish Celtic tribes draw their origin from Magog, which I found that interesting. I was expecting that as part of who Magog, how far Magog actually spread his family. Magi is what are known as the Medes. And you remember, of course, the Mede-Persian Empire, they really come to power here in the book of Daniel. When you're reading through Daniel, you see, of course, the Mede-Persian Empire would be that empire that takes over the Babylonian kingdom after Nebuchadnezzar's death under the reign of Nabonidus and his grandson Belshazzar. Belshazzar is the one that's in Babylon at the time of the invasion, and when the Medes and the Persians take over the city of Babylon, it is during Nabonidus was one that would go out and do conquering work, and while he was out conquering, he left his grandson there at home, Belshazzar, and he's the one that's having a party. And of course the writing came on the wall that he was weighed in the balances and found wanting, and brings Daniel in, and Daniel tells him, this is very nice. It's very nice, you're going to come to your death. It's going to be the end of you tonight. Okay. After they washed the hand writing on the wall, they just ignored it on that, told them, and went on with their party. Well, while they're partying, the Persians rerouted the river Euphrates, going that was flowing through the city. They rerouted the river, that the river flowed around the city. They literally marched under the walls and conquered the city of Babylon that very night. And exactly what God had declared concerning Belshazzar came to pass. So this is the Medes. That's who this man Madai is father of. The Medes who came in to conquer Babylon. You have Yevon here. This next son, the fourth son of Japheth. He is the father of the people of Greece, of Spain, of Cyprus, even Syria. Some of the Syrians come from Yevon. And also the early Britons. Early Britons come from Yevon. It is from those tribes that they would spread on up into Britain. And so Yevon would be the father of this group. Tubal is the next one. His name may sound familiar. One of the sons of Cain's name was Tubal Cain, if you remember. He was the one that was was it the music that he did? I think it was, or the art of the blacksmith. He's a blacksmith, but thank you, brother. Whichever one. Tubal Cain was one of the Cain's sons. Here we have Tubal, one of Japheth's sons. That's probably where the name sounds familiar. He is his family would overspread into the Eastern Europe part, especially the Black Sea region. He would be all around, his family would kind of populate that area around the Black Sea. Heros is the next son that's made mention of there in verse 2. He is the father of the Thracians and the Etruscans. Heros himself would be worshipped by his descendants, and they would call him Thoros. He would later be known as Thor. This is where this comes from. The god of war. Ancient city of Troas and Troy and the Tarsus mountain range are all named for this last son of Japheth, Heros. Now, I'm not saying that Heros himself, understand, he didn't set himself up to worship, but his descendants after him would make a god out of him. I don't know anything about his direction toward God, how faithful he was, but it would be his descendants after him. And so Asia Minor, the area of Galatia, especially in the New Testament times, this would be where the family of Kiros would find themselves, and later going on further north into Europe. And so these are the sons of Jacob. Now, we're also given there in these other verses verse 3 on down through verse number 5 there, we're given the sons of Gomer as well, Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah, and they also were in the areas of Europe there, where they would settle their land. But these are the sons of Japheth made mention for us. And it says there again in verse 5, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families in their nations. Now in down through verse number 20, we pick up with the sons of Ham. Now they record for us a great number of children here. Ham has only four sons that are mentioned, but he has several grandsons that are mentioned for us here in this passage. Cush had many sons. Mizraim had several sons, and Canaan, of course, had multiple sons. And so these grandsons are mentioned here as well in this passage concerning the sons of Ham. Verse 6 says the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah, and Sabtah, and Ramah, and Sabtikah, and the sons of Ramah, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. Now remember this guy, because he's going to be very prominent in chapter number 11. Not only is he prominent in chapter number 11, but he will be prominent throughout Old Testament period, as well as New Testament period, even today. We do not recognize the reality of Nimrod's influence on our world today. Nimrod had a great influence on our world in regards to religion. It is literally the religion of Nimrod that has spread throughout the world that all of religion has come from. All false religion has come from Nimrod. It is the very worship system that he set up in chapter number 11. It is that very worship system that is carried to all the parts of the world. And it is remarkable when you begin to put it together and begin to see this, even the gods of the Romans and the Greeks, all of that came from Nimrod. It all stems from him. And so the only thing that's changed is their names. That's the only thing that's changed when you get to these different cultures. It's the same religion. It's the religion that Nimrod established or was established because of him in the kingdom of Babylon. So remember Nimrod's name. We'll be looking further at him when we get into chapter 11. But Cush began Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh and the city Rehoboth and Calah. And reason between Nineveh and Calah, the same, is a great city. And Mizraim begat Ludim and Anamim and Lehabim and Naphtuhim and Pathrushim and Casluhim, out of whom came Philistim. That name should sound familiar to us. That's the Philistines. And of course, we see their prominence in David and Saul's time especially, and in the times of the judges there, when they would have to face against these Philistine cities, the Philistine kingdom, and all the fights that went on there. And Haphtorim. And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn. And these especially will sound familiar to us when we get over into the Old Testament, the time of Moses. You'll see these names. They'll stand out to you there. We see those names mentioned over and over again. Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusites, who those are the folks that lived in Israel, or in Jerusalem, rather, when David comes to conquer Jerusalem, it'll be the Jebusites that were ruling Jerusalem at that time. and the Amorite, all trouble they caused over and over again, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Argadite, and the Zimrite, and the Hamathite, and afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar, unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admah, and Zeboam, even unto Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their sons, in their countries, and in their nations. So let's look a moment at these three sons, or four sons of Ham. You have Cush, who Cush had Seba, Sabtah, Sabzahah, Havilah, Ramah, and out of him, of course, Nimrod, and Sheba, and Dedan. These are these children and grandchildren of Cush. And his family primarily were the Ethiopians, the Arabian Peninsula, all throughout the Arabian Peninsula, Yemen. Of Cush would spring Nimrod. Of course, he would build in the plain of Shinar. He would build Babylon. He was a great city builder. Asher, from him, would go up and build Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, and later build that particular kingdom. And so Cush's family, most of the Middle East and East Africa, okay, is where Cush's family resided. Mizraim, his second son, was in Egypt, Libya, all of North Africa, and the Philistines in Canaan. And so all the rest of North Africa there was Mizraim's land and the place of the Philistines in Canaan. This is where Mizraim's family went. Put, the third son, his family was in Egypt as well, the North African coast. So he's found in the same area that Mizraim is in. But he had these names, particularly these two, Cush for that matter as well, these were all very familiar names to Moses. When he's writing these things down, he knows exactly who these people are. Okay, these were very familiar. These families were all around him. He knows exactly who these folks are. And would come to know who Canaan's kids are. Because it would be that very land that God was sending the children of Israel to. And as we were looking at last time as well, that curse on Canaan, Ham's son, that he would be the servants of Shem, and this we find the fulfillment of that all in that period as the children of Israel would come into the Canaan land, because they would have homes that they did not build, cities that they did not build, vineyards that they did not plant, all of those things. And even here, Moses tells us, this is the land that Canaanites had. This is the reason he tells us this is the borders of the land of Canaan, because that would be the borders of the people of Israel. Because that was exactly the land that God gave them. And he would remove the Canaanites and give the children of Israel that land. Although the children of Israel would not obey, and so they would not remove them as they were to be removed, as God had commanded them to be removed, and so there would be a great deal of trouble back and forth for the people of Israel because of the Canaanites over many years to come. But we have these folks of Canaan, all the tribes of Canaan, the Zidonians, the Phoenicians, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Sinites, the Aradites, all of them come from this one son, Canaan. And it would, of course, be this son that would, this son's family, that would not only cause so much hardship on the children of Israel, or would be the source of that, but it would also be him that the children of Israel would receive all of these lands, the houses, the cities, and so on, that would be left behind by these Canaanite families. And so this is the sons of Ham here. Now, the sons of Shem, we take up in verse 21. It says, unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, that's how you pronounce that name there, E-V-E-R, the pronunciation of that is Eber. Well, why does that sound familiar? Because that is exactly where the Hebrew gets their name, is from this man here, Eber. Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder, even to him were children born. The children of Shem, Elam, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. And the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash. And Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. And his brother's name was Joktan. And so that was the sons of Eber, Peleg, and Joktan. And during Peleg's day was the earth divided. And I kind of think that it's talking about what took place here in chapter 11. It was during his day when these nations were divided up and the families were scattered throughout the earth at this time. But this verse 26, it says, and Joktan, Peleg's brother there, begat Almadad and Sheleth and Hazarmaveth and Jerah and Hadaram and Uzal and Diklah and Obal and Abimaiah and Sheba and Ophir and Havilah and Jobab. All of these were the sons of Joktan. And their dwelling was from Mesha, as thou goest unto Sephar, a mount of the east. These are the sons of Shem after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations, in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So you have these sons of Shem, especially Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram, Peleg, and Joktan out of Hebrew, of course, and then these several names mentioned for us. Peleg, by the way, would have, which we find out in chapter 11, he would have Reu, Serug, and Nahor, and out of Nahor comes Terah, and out of Terah would come Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And out of Haran, of course, would come Lot. And so we get to the children of Israel here through Peleg. He would be Abraham's grandpa, granddad. So that's how we get to him. Again, these families primarily are in the Middle East, and that's where they remain, the Middle East and the Arabian Peninsula, Assyria, the Chaldeans. Well, through Elam, of course, you have the people of Elam. Through Asher, you have the Assyrians. Through Arphaxad, that's the big, really the bigger family. You have the Chaldeans, the Hebrews. And one island off the coast of Greece that was called Ragu Island. I don't know if that's still what it's called today or not. I wondered if that's not where they come up with the spaghetti sauce. But there at Ragu Island is one of the families of Arphaxad that settled there. I found that interesting. That one little island off the coast of Greece had these folks from Arphaxad, Ragu Island. Then you have Lud. They are primarily the Lydians of Asia Minor, who caused Rome so much trouble later on when Rome comes to power. You have Aram, who is primarily the Syrians. So these sons of Shem here, primarily the Middle East and the Arabian Peninsula, they didn't move much out of that, except that one little Ragu Island. They pretty much stayed right there. And it's where they pretty much remained. They did not move much out of those areas. So that is the sons of Shem. And it tells us there in verse 32, the last verse of this passage, These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Now, this is remarkable. And I want you to understand the remarkable nature of this that Moses was able to record this. Moses is 1,500 more years after this time, if I'm right, or maybe just 500 years more, whatever it is. I can't remember that. Several more years. My mind's going blank. Yet several more years later, Moses is recording all of this down. And he's the one writing all of this stuff as it's come to pass, and who these families belong to. And he has got person for person for person for person for person for person recorded for us here of these families. Their genealogies are there for us. And this is extremely important. Extremely important. As I've told you, and one of these books I got a lot of this information out of is Bill Cooper's book, and he's the one that has these ancient genealogies in this. I love this book. It's called After the Flood, and there are all these ancient genealogies in this book. And he's shown from not just from these three sons, but literally all over the world, you have these people coming back to these sons. They show where they link together here in these particular families. And of course, you have the ancient Chinese that go back to Adam or to dirt. There's that one that they make that claim, and they show how they line up with these families. This is very important because literally every family of the earth can go to this genealogy and find where they come off of, who they were a part of, what family line. This is recorded for us here. And the remarkable nature of this genealogy would stand up in the court of law. You have it, it's that detailed. It's that detailed, and yet people want to say, oh, it's just fairy tale. That's just fairy tale. That's just they're made up. They're just giving us these details, and it's just fairy tale, it's not real. It's just an allegory. What would an allegory have all these names listed in it of who began who? But really, what good would an allegory be to have these names listed the way they're listed? This is the genealogy of these three sons. God has given us a detailed genealogy to show that we all come from Noah. And Noah came from Adam or dirt. We all came from dirt. That's where we all line up with, you see. And we've got these genealogies that can trace back and show. And we're not, even though it's been 6,000 years since creation, 4,500 years since the time of the flood, we're not that far removed that with a little bit of work, you can pretty well find which family you come through. Based upon where your family line was and where your family came from and so on, it wouldn't take too much work. Really, to go back and find using some of those ancient genealogies to show, oh, well, I'm from the line of Japheth. I've got a little Japheth in me, a little Shem, and a little Ham. I've got them all. I come from all of them. But we can see there. We can see there the reality of these genealogies that are given here for us. God has recorded each one. And whether they have kept records of this and Moses is recounting the record, or whether this is information that God preserved and simply gave to Moses, I don't know. I don't know which one it was. But the fact is, God recorded it for us in His Word. And He's given us this genealogy. This genealogy, by the way, especially with Peleg and Hebrew and Arphaxad and from Abraham on back, as we just looked at there, this will be the line of genealogy of Christ Jesus Himself. And so these names will be recounted for us when we get into Jesus' day and we see His genealogy as it shows where He come from. As it lines up with Abraham. So these This is a reality that is captioned for us here in the Word of God that we know that this is God's historical account of the creation of this world. This is the information God has given us and the proof text behind it to show this is exactly what I did, and these are the proofs that I'm the one that did these things. And here even is the genealogies, the folks laid out, so you can go back and trace them and know this is exactly what has taken place. God is explicit in His Word. He cares deeply about this reality that His historical narrative, the things He said He did, that we believe that's what He did. We believe that's what He did. This is not an allegory. This is not some story to illustrate a point here for us. This is God's Word, that which He has done. That which He has done. These, again, verse 32, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. After the flood. Now, chapter 11, when we take up with it, we will see the tower. And we'll backtrack just a little bit when we do that and look at Nimrod, because he is the one who worked this stuff. In chapter 11, it'll be upon his reign. By the way, that name Nimrod means to rebel. To rebel. It is used, or it used to be, it's not so much used anymore, but it used to be used as if you're talking about somebody who's stupid, you call them a Nimrod. Or a Nimrod. And that's but Nimrod was not an idiot, don't misunderstand. He was a very smart man, that he had a great deal of power and a great deal of influence, and it would be out of him that literally every religion of the ancient world come through. Other than Judaism and Christianity. Everything else would come from Nimrod. And even a lot of the imagery that was used in Christendom would come forth out of Nimrod. And so we'll touch on that a little bit when we get into chapter number 11, as we see the scattering and what takes place there. All right, let's all say we'll be dismissed today.